Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Two Bros One Flick. God bless you, Justin.
I see.
Thank you.
We are doing something really kind of fun and interesting now. We're going to do a quasi-review with Justin and myself talking about Looper that just came out a couple weeks ago. And Sam actually hasn't seen it. And he's going to kind of ask us questions about it, and we'll kind of go along with how he wants to structure this conversation. Yeah. But I guess we'll start off with initial impressions of the movie, starting off with Justin, and maybe you can give us the lowdown.
Yeah, I think maybe we could do like a non-spoilery version where he kind of asks his questions for someone who hasn't seen it. Maybe questions you would have, and we can answer them in a non-spoilery way, because it deserves to make more money than it has. It was a hit. Yeah.
It was good, but it wasn't one.
Yeah, but that Tim Burton CG movie, or... not Tim Burton.
You're talking
about Adam
Sandler,
right?
Yeah,
that was Adam Sandler.
Oh, that's my
Happy
boy?
Madison.
Yeah. No, not That's My Boy.
Not That's My Boy. But Happy Madison did that Transylvania movie.
Yeah.
And that made like twice as much money.
Hotel Transylvania.
And God, I hate Happy Madison.
What
so,
the fuck? I don't even know.
So
no,
Looper deserves to make more money. It still made its budget, and it's considered a hit, but it deserves to make more money. So that's my goal right now, is to make more people go see it.
Yeah.
So like non-spoilery wise, you can ask stuff, and then maybe after that we'll do like a more spoilery review, because it's one of those movies that it's hard to even talk about and not spoil
it. It's like
it.
Inception.
You need a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of like Inception. We're like, what do I even talk about without giving away parts of the plot? So we'll save that stuff towards the end. And if you don't want to hear it, we'll just tell you when it's coming.
We'll do the spoiler.
And you can stop listening.
Yeah.
I'll make like a hawk noise or something.
Yeah, that sounds good.
We'll just tell you.
Haku!
Wave your arms like Joseph Gordon-Levitt in Angels in the Outfield. Yeah. Hey!
Oh, I forgot that was
relevant
him.
Relevant reference.
Jesus Christ. Where's Danny Glover now? You know, no one wants to know.
Nobody knows.
No. No one knows. After the Saw movies, just, you know. But you want to give us a rundown on how much it costs? Because I'm interested in how much. It made like $20 million last weekend,
I think,
right?
It made like $24 million. I think it made a little more than that, yeah.
IMDb says the budget was $30 million estimated and that the gross is about $20.8 million right
so
now.
So they'll get there, but so it deserves it. I really think it should have been number one, because fuck Hotel Transylvania.
Happy Madison
know what that is.
For being so derivative.
Have you seen that Leslie Nielsen Dracula Dead and Loving It?
Yes.
It's like, I feel like that, but CGI form.
Oh, Frankenweenie. Is that what you're talking about?
No,
that's
Tim
Burton.
Burton.
We're talking about Hotel Transylvania.
It should be Hotel Transylvania.
That's what it's called.
Yeah. Oh, I see it. It's number one.
It is number one.
Fucking fortunately. Yeah.
Adam Sandler getting away with making bad movies.
Yeah.
Since
Andy Samberg.
Since after Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Poor Andy Samberg, too. I hope he gets out of that, because I love the shit out of Hot Rod. That movie made me cry
loud.
Hot
Rod was good. My favorite is when he's waving at the very end. That was so
funny. The part where he falls down the hill. Like,
oh,
that sounds like
the safe word is what? We remember when he's going before they push him down the hill.
Oh, whiskey.
The safe word is whiskey.
Whiskey.
They push him down.
Yeah, I mean, that movie gave Danny McBride, like, that started his career, was that
for
movie.
Was Hot Rod before Pineapple Express?
Yes.
Oh,
and even also, what's his...
The other guy from SNL?
Akiva.
Yeah, the guy from
Bill
SNL.
Hader.
Bill Hader, Or Bill Hader, yeah.
Bill Hader, yeah. Hader.
That guy, he was in that too. And Jonah Mora, I think is the guy's name, from Lonely Island
with
Andy Samberg.
Yeah, that was
good. Jorma from...
It's Jorma.
He directed it.
Jorma and Akiva.
I thought Akiva directed it. Pretty sure Akiva directed it.
Akiva
and he
did
also
direct
did,
it.
Okay.
That one, MacGruber, which I loved.
I
MacGruber.
Fucking love.
I don't want
that.
Those guys to get ruined by Adam Sandler. So
yeah,
I
have MacGruber on. I have it always with me.
MacGruber
it is
also
hilarious.
Like, MacGruber and Hot Rod will make me cry laugh.
MacGruber loves. My mom loves.
You haven't
MacGruber.
Seen MacGruber?
I haven't seen either of those. I like the Lonely Island dude.
Val Kilmer
guy.
Plays a bad guy named Dieter von Kunth.
Okay,
and
cool.
That's all you need to know,
dude. It's great. My mom loves that movie.
That's cool.
I showed him the sex scene. Yeah. When we were
I'm gonna shoot.
Yeah.
I'm probably gonna
I like holes. That's a fucking great movie. We have to watch that.
I'll probably like it.
Like Naked Gun and MacGruber, like double feature.
I'll probably like it just because I really like the Lonely Island.
She was the first girl I ever felt comfortable enough to let eat out my butt.
Yeah.
Because I've been watching those dudes since like they were doing shorts on Channel 101 of like Awesome Town and
so
the Boo and shit.
Yeah. So just side note, we got sidetracked from Looper, but if you like Lonely Island, watch Hot Rod and MacGruber if you have
MacGruber, you'll like it. It's MacGruber finally made back its budget, I think.
Okay.
With DVD sales.
Great job.
It's a $10 million movie. You can't go wrong with that.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? It was a $20 million. Hotel Transylvania is a bullshit movie, and it should be number one.
Don't
go see that.
I thought you meant Paranorman, which I kind of want to see just because I heard.
Oh, no, I don't mean that one.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I heard it was okay, but.
Yeah.
Plus, the sneakerhead shit
sucks.
Yeah.
Nike keeps making Paranorman specials.
Yeah. So,
Yeah.
All right, Sam.
So
kick
Looper.
Us off.
So like, what's Looper about? I don't really know.
This is
I haven't seen trailers or anything.
Yeah, he actually didn't hear about it when I said we're gonna go see it.
Yeah, like I don't have TV, so I don't even know about like what they have on commercials.
Yes,
Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt as Bruce Willis in the past.
So
year,
he's
20,
young Bruce Willis.
44.
I think.
He's young Bruce Willis.
Young Bruce Willis. So this I'll let him go with the non-spoiler.
Okay.
So I'll let you, and then I'll add in whenever.
Okay.
Okay. He plays a younger version of Bruce Willis. You're basically looking at like late 20s, and then like late 50s version of the same character. And cool thing in the previews. You probably can't even tell it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt because he wears some prosthetics. He wears a fake nose and I think some stuff on the forehead to make him look more like Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
And it really is effective.
It really is. Apparently it took him 3 hours to put it on.
Like at first you don't really notice it. You're like, that's not what Bruce Willis looks like. I've seen Die Hard. But then once Bruce Willis shows up and they're together, you're like, wow, the mannerism. Like they did a good job with that. And that's like a subtle touch that they probably didn't even have to do.
Right.
And because movies have had people play, old and young versions of themselves before and just use different actors.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like they do earlier in the movie. There's a scene earlier in the movie, this isn't a spoiler or anything, where an older version of a character and a young version are together.
Yeah.
And it's not the same actor.
It's not the same actor. And it was and the guy from There Will Be Blood.
Yes.
Who is the young guy?
Paul Dano.
Paul Dano.
Yeah, he's
that,
in it.
That kid is a legitimate actor.
That's kind of a break from then, because after apart from Little Miss Sunshine and There Will Be Blood, I heard that he wasn't doing so hot.
Yeah, he was in actually before those two movies, he was in The Girl Next Door.
Oh,
he was Klitz in The Girl Next Door.
Is that the horror movie?
No, the one with it's the comedy.
The
blonde. What's her name?
What is her name? She's in Happy Endings.
Alicia Cuthbert.
Alicia Cuthbert. Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
And I love Happy Endings, and she's great in that.
Okay.
But
Diego
loves
Happy Endings too.
Yeah, he does.
Oh man, that show's amazing. We'll talk about it. there's two Damon Waynes now. What happened? How Damon Waynes Jr. turned into Damon Waynes? That's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, Paul Dano's in it also. And it's basically, the whole setup is, it's the year 2044, mid-2040s.
Right.
And time travel hasn't been invented yet. Joseph Gordon-Levitt narrates this in the beginning to kind of give you a rundown.
Yeah.
Okay.
Time travel hasn't been invented yet, but in 30 years, it will be invented.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
It's immediately outlawed, but crime syndicates use it. And when they want to kill someone in the future, it's almost impossible to kill people in the future because cops are really good. Everyone has like ID tags.
It's like Minority Report.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get rid of a body. So what they do is they send them in the past, kill them there, and then, that body technically doesn't exist because it's 30 years in the past.
Take them to the cleaners. Yeah.
And you get rid of it that way. And that's how they do it. And then the whole reason it's called Looper is because that's what guys like Joseph Gordon-Levitt are called.
Because they loop through time.
But in the end of your contract, the way they stop working with you is they send you back yourself 30 years in the future, send them back to you, and you kill yourself, your future self, and
effectively
they've closed
closing
the loop.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's where that whole concept comes into. And you can kind of tell from the previews, things go kind of haywire when Joseph Gordon-Levitt sent back his future self and doesn't kill him. But even that, that's what you get from the previews, but there's way more going on than that. We can talk about that a little bit later.
That's spoiler. That would be giving away a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
it'd
be giving away a little bit more. Just know there is more going on. So if that initial premise didn't exactly grab you for some reason, there is a lot more than that. That just
it'll throw you for a loop.
Oh!
Great.
Yeah.
Feel good about
that?
Feel safe?
Diego's
just drop the mic and walk off stage.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
All right. Don't try the veal here. It's terrible.
Okay, so like, what kind? Like, how is it directed? Like, how is it paced?
Paced very well, I thought. For the most part,
Yeah.
Towards the end, you can take this movie. Justin and I talked about this. You can take it five different ways,
yeah.
at least. And it just happens to be a way that it goes that I was fine with, but I was kind of hoping for a little different twist to it. But as far as direction goes, just seeing like the contrast of the rural areas with like the urban areas of like future USA.
Yeah.
I thought
that
was awesome.
Yeah. There's a lot of talks about, you don't really know what's happened to society. They don't really talk about it too much, but there is some mentions of like vagrants and like the vagrant uprising. And I mean, it sounds like
Blade Runner.
It's very, apropos, I guess, of today.
Uh-huh.
Poor people rose up, I guess, and they got put down, and so there's just like poor people live on the street in some areas, and then the rich people kind of live their own lives
in the city.
In the cities,
right?
And But it's cool. Yeah, there's a lot of there's some shots of like future China in there as well.
Future China,
where
yeah.
That,
yeah.
You know, it looks like there's a couple lines in there about how great China is in
is
the
everything
future.
Red?
It's really stuff? Funny.
No, it's yeah. It's really it's a lot of it's a good funny movie. It's kind of like if you saw I know a lot of people haven't heard of the director and writer of this movie, Rian Johnson. Mm-hmm. He did a movie about 7 years ago with Joseph Gordon-Levitt also called Brick.
Uh-huh.
That's on Netflix cool. Instant. So if you have Netflix,
go see Brick. That was awesome.
Look that up and watch it. Yeah. It's readily available if you have Netflix.
It's really visceral and goofy at the same time.
Yeah, it takes like a couple of different themes and combines them. I mean, you have like the high school movie, right. But it's also like a drug dealing,
yeah.
Noir kind
plus
of
plus
there's
feel a guy
to
with a big
it.
Boot.
That's yes, always, the kid from the kid from Witness,
yeah.
is in it. He was also in Inception, oddly yes. enough. He is in that movie as well, and yeah, he has one giant foot for some reason. So Brick was really good, funny and also dark. And that's that same director and also Joseph Gordon-Levitt, obviously, in this movie. And he does a good job. The scenery shot real nice. It does feel like a real place, that future.
Good.
And there's a lot of scenes out in the countryside where it still looks like just the country today, but there's just a couple things yeah. where you're like, okay, this is the future.
Is it kind of, Andy, is it kind of like Children of Men?
I was going to say Children
yeah,
of Men.
Exactly,
yeah.
yes. Where okay. you're like, this feels familiar, but it's also the future. So it's not super technologically advanced. Yeah. Okay. Cars all look kind of run down.
Ford F-150 in the movie.
Yeah, he drives a Miata, I think.
Yeah, he drives
a
awesome. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's when you know you're balling.
Yes.
In the future.
In the future.
He has it in his like car cover.
Yeah, he
going
keeps
back to MacGruber, same thing.
Yeah.
Gotta
he has a Miata.
Car cover.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I always thought that was funny. Like, people with, like, 96 Miatas decided to always have their, like, nice leather covers over them.
Yep.
Like, it was a precious investment.
Well, it's going to pay off in the future.
And not like a Ford, not like
yeah.
a $20,000 car.
Ford F-150, that's what he used to do the cleaning. And it's,
yeah.
like,
but
yeah, it's a little
it's
weird.
It's got, like, different panels on it. Looks like from their different colors.
And, like, hoses.
And hoses coming out of it. Everything has solar
okay.
panels on it. That's
yeah.
kind of cool. Even the farmhouses, you see there's shots where you can see
also
the
like,
roof covered
also
in solar
like
panels.
Yeah, it's really neat because it seems like it's, like, like the civilization is kind of in limbo between jumping to the next tech and
yeah.
stuck with our tech.
Yeah,
right
exactly.
Now.
Okay. It's like they've decided that, well, this is just kind of as good as it gets.
And that's
yeah.
2040.
Like,
that's like
2040.
It's like 20
yeah,
mid 2040s. I can't
yeah.
remember.
Yeah.
It might be late 2040. It's 2044 or 2049.
Yeah, it's one
I
of those.
One
okay.
of those.
That's cool.
Yeah. But I thought the directing was, you couldn't ask for anything else.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. We're engrossed with Battlefield 3 being played. United
yeah, State. Someone's playing in the background
yeah.
and
yeah.
getting upset.
Getting raped.
Yeah. Yeah, he did good.
He's
13 and 7. That's good.
Okay.
Silent, okay.
Silent Diego.
Yeah.
Today, Jesus.
Okay, so it was directed pretty well from what I'm hearing.
And written
pacing
well
is solid.
As well. It's sci-fi. If you like sci-fi, if you like...
Now, what kind of sci-fi? Is it kind of like one of those...
That almost gets into a little spoiler territory because from what all you can
well,
tell
I mean,
from
like,
the trailer.
Well, I mean, like, is it like one of those things where everything is explained through Deus Ex Machina kind of stuff?
No.
Okay.
No, it's not like even like we talked about previously on the prior podcast, I think, about
uh-huh.
how much I like The Prestige.
Right. Yeah.
That kind of has a Deus Ex Machina in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it works with the story, and the point isn't how it works, just that it does work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This one doesn't really – there is a lot of – any movie that deals with time
right.
is going to mess with you. Like, Back to the Future has so many plot holes because
right.
of dealing with time. Like, how does that work? Like, they go to the past.
That movie has no plot holes.
What?
He ranked it in your – we're going to get into your top five 1980s movies.
Okay.
In, and Sam put – was it your number one?
No.
Was it your number five? It
was
in your
my,
top.
I still
it
like
my,
it.
It was my
yeah, just it deals
yeah,
with
yeah.
time, and
it's
going to have potholes. Like, for example, real quick, Back to Future 2. old Biff steals the almanac, goes in the past, gives it to himself, then comes back to the future, and they
yeah.
come out of the house, and they get back in their time machine. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Then they go back to the past in 1985, and everything's different. And they're like, oh, we'll go back to the future and change it. And Doc says, we can't.
Mm-hmm.
If we go to the future from this point in time, it'll be a future of this alternate reality,
yeah.
and we can't. We have to go to the past to fix it.
Yeah.
But... Old Biff was
uh-huh.
able to do exactly that. Old Biff stole the almanac, went back to the 50s, gave it to himself,
yeah.
then went to the future from the 50s, alternate 50s,
the
and,
exact same
and
thing.
Came back yeah. to the same place.
Yeah, he
right.
just
so,
forgot that he
yeah.
could do it. Okay.
So I'm saying any movie that deals with time is going to have plot holes. Terminator,
yeah.
you know, anything like that. And this movie, which certainly you could spend all day talking about the consequences of all the actions in the past, how they
right.
affect the future.
Yeah.
But there's a scene in this movie where they're talking about that.
Uh-huh.
Bruce Willis and Joseph Gordon-Levitt, the older and younger
yeah.
versions of the same character, are talking about that. And Bruce Willis basically says, we could spend hours talking about this. I don't want to talk about it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. yeah
and
yeah.
I feel like that was almost talking to the audience in like a...
That was really, I thought that was funny.
Yeah, like a
yeah.
don't worry about it.
It'll be fine.
Yeah,
let's
it'll
do
be
it.
Fine.
Yeah.
It works because it works.
Yeah.
yeah.
So it's aware of those, but
That's
it doesn't
good.
It doesn't affect the story.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so like, what did you guys think about the acting? Was everyone? It's Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis. I'm assuming they're doing real good.
I thought Joseph Gordon-Levitt was
JGL.
Awesome.
I call him for sure. Yeah. You know, when we hang out.
Yeah. Right. You know him so well. I liked him a lot better than I liked Bruce Willis.
Really.
And Bruce Willis.
Who's the main? I know they're both the same dude, but are they both like equally
JGL.
On?
JGL's the main character.
Yeah, JTL.
Oh, okay.
JGL.
Okay.
JGL.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake.
Love it.
It's JT.
That would be pretty good.
Bruce Willis actually isn't in it nearly as much as Joseph Gordon-Levitt is. And the previews maybe kind of give the impression that he's the future self and he doesn't kill him. And so they team up to take down the bad guys. And that's not the plot at all.
No. Okay.
So if that's what you're thinking and you think, oh, that sounds kind of derivative, that's definitely not what happens. Yeah. They have different goals.
Okay.
They're both trying to accomplish different things for different reasons. So they're different characters.
Interesting.
Which is really good. That's a turn I didn't know that was going to be in there. So that's a nice surprise.
Yeah. I was thinking about...
Is it Russell?
No, it's not. We're good. I was thinking about just the fact that Bruce Willis, when I saw the trailer, I was thinking about it being... You guys remember Face Off with Nick Cage?
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, I love that movie.
John Woo.
It's got dubs in it.
Great.
I'm thinking about, you know how that one's just like, we're just going to go at each other, right? It's not really like that. They're in the way of each other's goals. But it's not like they're actively hunting down each other throughout the whole movie.
Yeah. Okay.
That's not the main point of the movie. But Bruce Willis wasn't bad. I just think Joseph Gordon-Levitt outshined him.
He kind of stole the show.
Yeah. And you know what didn't steal the show was Piper Perabo.
Yeah.
Who is that?
She's a girl from Coyote Ugly. She's also in that show, Covert Affairs on USA.
I don't
Blonde
know.
Girl.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. I know a lot about Coyote Ugly.
Okay.
Yeah, and USA shows. Only because when you watch USA shows, they show commercials for every other USA show in existence. Yeah. And I really like Suits and Psych, so I see those a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's in it. She plays a stripper that Joseph Gordon-Levitt likes, you know, kind of like the wrestler.
The love interest.
Except not really the love interest, no. But yeah, for the fellas out there, you do see her topless.
That's great.
And it was okay.
A little sad. Is it a little sad?
I wanted to be more excited by it. It wasn't bad.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what would it be?
Oh, don't ask me the numbers.
I'd give it like a 4.
It would be a 32B. I don't know.
Okay.
You're being generous.
I am being generous. Not that that's bad.
No.
Ladies.
Yeah, but you know, Diego's a tit guy.
Great.
I'm a butt man.
Great.
I'm a butt man personally.
Same. That's cool though. So like, is it pretty easy to follow, or is it kind of convoluted, the story?
What's nice about it is you notice this from the first maybe half hour. A lot of things happen that aren't direct, like immediately explained.
Yeah.
But you don't think about, I'm missing something here.
Yeah.
But then the next scene will kind of show you what just happened from a different perspective.
Okay.
And you're like, oh, that makes that previous scene even better. But you weren't even thinking about it at first.
Yeah.
You weren't like, oh, they just showed me half of a scene. I don't get it. You're just like, oh, that was cool. And then 5 minutes later, you're like, wow, that was actually even cooler.
Yeah.
Because now I saw it from a different perspective.
Yeah, it kind of builds.
Yeah. Like, for an example, to be not spoilery, for an example, when he first comes back, when Bruce Willis first comes back and Joseph Gordon-Levitt finds him, you see all that from Joseph Gordon-Levitt's perspective. The whole time, you've only seen him.
Okay.
So you're seeing everything from his point of view.
Yeah.
But then immediately following that, you see it from Bruce Willis's perspective, from future Joseph Gordon-Levitt's perspective.
Yeah.
And you see the same scene, practically.
Yeah.
But flip it and like how he got there and where he came from, what led up to that scene from his point of view, as opposed to what led up to it from the younger version's view.
Okay.
And it makes them both better.
It kind of completes that.
Yeah, exactly. Scene. But you don't think about it the first time. You're not even like, oh, how did that happen? But then they show you anyway, and it makes the whole thing better. So that happens a couple times throughout the movie.
Very cool.
Where a scene will happen from one character's perspective, and then you see it from the future character's perspective later.
I really like that.
Yeah, and that's
really
great.
Because
that also deals with the whole like, well, if I'm doing it when I'm younger, are you going to remember it? Because you're the older me. Do you remember what I did?
That plays a big part in the movie. Yeah.
Okay.
I really like that whole idea. And I was watching it with my girlfriend. And when it actually...
Who is not here because she's
not
being
here.
Lame.
She's on her way.
Oh,
she's
awesome.
On her way.
Oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
Don't take it back, though.
I don't.
Yeah.
I've known her long enough. I can say what I want.
Yeah, exactly. So when it cuts from one perspective to the other, it's not like a fade to black. It's a boom.
Yeah.
And then you're kind of left with, huh? And you know, she hasn't. I don't think she's watched a lot of movies like this, where you're just gonna have to trust that it's all gonna work itself out.
Trust that it makes sense. Yeah, yeah. Trust the director. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, okay. And it wasn't one of those movies where you have to work hard to put the pieces together, which is good, I think. And I think it deserves to have more mass appeal. Yeah.
It does. But it's kind of like if you saw that movie. God, I think it was like 13. I think it was 99 that it came out. Like 13 years ago now.
What
you, Frequency. I was thinking Frequency.
Oh, dude, Frequency.
Yeah, where the whole like,
yeah.
You have the past and future.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the same character, but times. You know, two characters.
Yeah,
different times.
Yeah. That was
trying
a really
to accomplish
sweet story
the same
too.
Kind of
I like
goal.
That.
And what happens in the past affects the
give
future.
I don't care about your look. I don't care about your look, Andy.
I liked it. I don't care about
this. Look at me like I'm some motherfucking plebeian over here.
No.
I like Frequency. Who is this motherfucker liking Frequency?
I don't care about the derivative Garth Brooks song in the end.
I don't care.
It was okay. I don't care. It's a sweet story. I like that little boy. He's a nice boy.
I was going to say, putting pieces together like that, I was going to be like Boondock Saints.
That movie made Jim Caviezel's career.
Fuck Jim Caviezel,
Jesus. Then you're saying fuck Jesus.
Well,
that's what you're saying.
He's just like uber conservative, right? And he's like,
he's super Catholic.
Yeah, well, that's
which is why
know.
He did.
I didn't know that.
Christ. Yeah,
I mean, I knew he was Catholic. I didn't know he was.
Well,
like,
Mel Gibson's super Catholic.
Yeah. Mel Gibson.
Well,
is
the best thing about
idiot.
That though from Passion of the Christ is like I think I don't think it was the Oscars. They wouldn't have that kind of sense of humor. I think it was the MTV Movie Awards back when that was still
that,
cool.
Yeah, it's probably
where it was right before Anchorman came out.
Yeah, yeah.
Will Ferrell did the opening in character as Ron Burgundy, and he was interviewing different actors and everything.
Right.
And he interviewed Jim Caviezel, and he was like, "Here with me now, Jesus Christ,
Jesus
everyone!"
Christ, yeah.
And he was just like, "No, I'm not Jesus. I'm an actor." And he's like, "But your initials are JC. Very clever.
Great.
And yeah, that's all what I think.
That's
of
a great
now.
YouTube clip. It's on YouTube. The whole interview."
Huh.
Yeah.
And then he walks across the pool at the end.
Yeah.
Right. He storms out, but he walks on
always,
water.
When he's on saying he doesn't, his name's not Jesus, and he's like, okay, I got
I
you,
it, yeah.
Yahweh.
Wink. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Your holiness, all that stuff.
But if you like Frequency and that whole kind of dealing with things in the past have an immediate consequence in the future.
I think you like if you like Frequency, you'll like Looper a lot better too.
You will like it more for sure.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying Frequency,
but I think we're almost exhausted stuff talking about that's not spoilery because there's a lot more to talk about.
So much
more
that,
stuff.
You know, it's probably not going to spoil it completely, but it might give away more than you'd want to know if all you want to know is what you see in the previews.
Right. So maybe we should just tell them to stop listening.
So yeah.
Yeah. Stop listening now.
Stop listening now, motherfucker.
Now's a good break if you don't want to know anything more than what you see in the previews.
Spoiler break.
And we're gonna try not to spoil it completely. For those of you that want to stick around, or maybe you've seen the movie.
I think it's like, whatever you want to know, we'll answer for you.
Yeah, maybe you've seen the movie and you just kind of want to get our full take on it.
Yeah.
It's definitely easier to talk about when you have no restrictions.
I think I said I would make a hawk noise, so like, cuckoo!
Yeah.
Or,
that's not a hawk. That's
a
hawk is
whatever.
Like,
it's not like, what is no? Pterodactyl sounds like, No. Whatever.
We'll figure it out. Now, after the nature
like
calls.
Doppler.
Yeah, after the nature
It's the Doppler effect.
Yeah. The Doppler effect.
We've got
okay,
a spoiler to talk. Let's talk about. You go ahead and ask us the question. Because we have lots to say.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't understand exactly what it. Like, are they trying. Is Joseph Gordon-Levitt going into the future or the past?
Oh, okay.
Who's moving forward?
The Looper. The Loopers never go through time.
Okay.
The loop is what they're called, is that they start their loop when they start killing people that they send back into their current present, 2044, where Joseph Gordon-Levitt is. And when they close the loop, that's when they send themselves back through time, their 30-year-old self
later
in the future, right? Yeah. So it's like, 50-something, I'm assuming.
Yeah, he's like late. I think they mentioned late 50s at one point. So Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in the present day in the movie, which is 2040, whatever.
Okay.
Present day. People from the future are sent back.
So Bruce Willis comes back.
Bruce Willis comes back.
Okay.
And he's him 30 years later.
Right.
Yeah.
He goes back, and that's normally how you close the loop. But something happens earlier in the movie that kind of alludes to that, where there was a problem where someone's future self was sent back and they couldn't kill him.
Okay.
So I thought it was greatly.
Yeah.
That
and,
was a great
and you're
way
like,
to jump.
Oh, like that could happen, I guess. Yeah. And they never talk about that because they come back with bags in their head. So how would
you
ever
see
know?
Their face. Yeah.
Can't see their face.
Yeah.
Shoot them. But this one guy doesn't do it. He knows it's him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't do it, and it kind of freaks Joseph Gordon-Levitt out, gets him thinking about it, like, wow, what's going to happen when my day comes? Because they know it's coming. It's not like a surprise.
Yeah.
The previews kind of make it out to be like, oh, he's shocked when it's his future self. But they know it's coming. All the loopers know, eventually I'm going to close my loop.
Yeah.
And you know by the fact of what kind of money they're carrying. They carry silver when it's just a normal guy.
Yeah.
But the one day you shoot someone and you open up their pack or wherever they keep their money on their back, it's gold.
Yeah.
And they pay you extra as like a, hey, live the next 30 years of your life. And
the
then,
final retirement
you know,
payout.
It's basically you know, okay, I've got 30 years left. I'm going to go do whatever I want for the next 30 years.
Okay.
So they all know it's coming.
Yeah.
But it's just, can you do it? Can you go through with it when you know it's you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that thing I mentioned earlier about how you see things from both characters' perspective is really cool in that sense, because Bruce Willis comes back and it's a little different than normal. Mm-hmm. And you're like, huh, I wonder what's up with that. And then the next scene they show you.
Yeah.
Like how he came
to
be there.
Oh, my God, that was a
Then even later they show you why. Like they show you how, and then later they show you why.
Yeah.
And you don't even know you're missing it at first, and later when they show you, like, wow, that makes it even better, what I just saw. Like, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is your present guy. And then
he
doesn't ever go through time. And then
Bruce Willis comes back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was really cool how they did that, and the different perspectives were awesome with how to explain it. It's one of those things that works itself out.
Yeah, he talked about that. Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, like, when you watch Paul Dano's character goes through something that kind of shows you the consequences of without what happens when your loop doesn't get closed.
Oh. So you already does Daniel Day-Lewis like push him into a bucket of mud?
He beats him with a bowling pin.
Yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis is his future self.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
He drinks up his milkshake and it's terrible.
Yeah.
Drain it!
I drink it up.
Bill Hader did a good job on SNL about that too.
Yeah.
Oh, man,
That Lincoln movie's gonna rock.
Yeah, I think it would be pretty good. Hopefully, if he doesn't
Steven Spielberg stops trying to force it into winning an Oscar.
Well, no one's ever won a best acting Oscar in a Spielberg movie. Fun fact.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Maybe this will be the one.
Yeah.
He's so good. My Left Foot, great movie.
Dude, he's such a method actor. I feel like he never broke characters ablique in the entire time.
He's probably in a log cabin.
There's a montage scene of him trying to like pick out a hat.
I want him to go
he settles on stovepipe, yes, that's what I want
to
see.
I want there to be like a biopic of Daniel Day-Lewis, and it's just how crazy he is in real life.
Dude, that guy's method.
Like he keeps going back and forth between Daniel Plainview and Lincoln in the middle of a conversation.
I feel like Daniel Plainview is really him. Like when he won the Oscar for that, and he came up like clean shaven, and all proper Britishy. I'm like, that's not him.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. How do you turn that off? Because that's so intense.
Someone asked Cameron Diaz what it was like working with Daniel Day-Lewis for Gangs of New York, and she's like, I never met him because he was always in character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh God, that scene where he taps on his eye. That's so metal.
Awesome.
God,
that's awesome.
Such a metal scene. Every time I see it, I'm like, dude, that's great.
Yeah.
It's so simple but brilliant.
Yeah. No, we digress.
We digress.
Anyway, so wait, where were we talking about?
We talked about the kind of like, are they in the future? Are they in past? What's happening?
Yeah.
And you know, anyway, keep on going. We'll see if we'll get to the plot twist that we want to talk about.
Yeah,
the plot twist?
Well, it's not even a twist. Talk about a twist. There's just an element to the story that
which makes it more sci-fi than people
think.
Yeah,
they don't even allude to it in the trailer.
Okay. It's like M. Night Shyamalan, except he's not
No, I wouldn't even bring up his
last
name.
Last Airbender?
God.
What?
Lady in the Water?
Lady in the Water. The darkest movie ever filmed. Don't know what lights are.
Right. So they mentioned this in the beginning of the movie, but you don't really realize it's going to play a big part. But you kind of think about it. There's a like 10% of the population in this future that have telekinetic powers, and they're called TKs.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, when it started happening, people can like levitate things,
like spoons.
Coins. It turned in. Everybody thought like, oh, we're going to have mutants. Great, and then it turned into just like douchebags floating quarters to impress
that's all
girls.
I can do is float.
Okay,
yeah,
and they just float little quarters, and it's like, oh, psh, whatever. But they don't really talk about how that happened. Yeah. There's some kind of drug in the movie that they do where it's like a kind of like a Minority Report where they have those little huffer things, and you're like, oh, it's a future drug, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Well, in this, they have one that's eyedroppers, and they call it dropping, which is kind of cool.
Okay,
it's creative. And they just drop little things in their eyes, and it gets them some kind of high.
It's almost like an ecstasy thing.
Yeah, they don't really allude to what it is. You just know that that messes you up, and it looks like a good time.
Yeah, it sounds like Serial Experiments Lane.
And apparently that led to some kind of birth defect where some people have telekinetic powers.
Okay.
But then it becomes a big plot point where in the future, somebody who has a bunch of telekinetic powers, like more than anybody else does,
he's like magnetoing up the motherfucker.
Yeah, he starts to like kill people. He's called the Rainmaker, and he's like the main bad guy in the future.
Yeah,
but he's a kid in Joseph Gordon-Levitt's time, and so it's like we need to stop him. Kind of, it's almost like a let's go back in time and kill Hitler kind of thing.
Okay,
right.
So that's an element that you don't even realize it's happening until about halfway through the movie.
Yeah, Bruce Willis. Okay. That's basically what Bruce Willis is there to do. He's not trying to like fight for his life against Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He's like, I need to find who Rainmaker is because Rainmaker.
I need to kill Hitler.
Rainmaker is actually the guy who's closing all the loops with people.
Yeah,
everyone. All the loopers are dying. Everyone's closing their loops faster than normal.
Okay,
which Joseph Gordon-Levitt kind of catches on to first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And like Jeff Daniels is like the leader of the Looper group. He's actually, they don't talk about him much. He's from the future. He came back.
Okay.
Uh-huh. He's the one who he keeps like the schedule. Like he knows when people are going to be sent back because he worked it out in the future.
Yeah.
He's like a secretary.
And he like runs everything. Yeah. He's all beardy and very, very not Will McAvoy.
Okay.
And so he runs everything. But then the Rainmaker is some guy in the future who is just hates Loopers and is just running the crime syndicates. And nobody really knows how or where he came from, but they show like new shots of cities that are just completely destroyed, and it's like the Rainmaker did this, whoever that is. They don't ever really talk about why they call him
it's
the Rainmaker.
Mr. X.
Well, yeah, I think that it
he make it rain
when the kid kind of shows off his
So he's a kid in Joseph Gordon-Levitt's time, and it's like, what kid is he? He could be anyone.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why Bruce Willis is there. There's actually an interesting side point to that. This might be a little more spoilery, but
it's kind of fun.
It's the spoiler section.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It brings up an interesting nature versus nurture point in the movie, because once you finally realize who the Rainmaker is, like which kid it is, the whole, you're supposed to be sympathetic with the character and like, oh, I don't want him to die because he's a kid. But the whole reason you feel that way is basically because it's a cute kid.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, if you went back in time to kill Hitler and Hitler happened to be a really cute kid, would you feel bad for him?
Probably
like, I don't know. And it's like, could he be good if you know in advance, like, oh, he's going to do these bad things. We can just raise him
better.
It
brings that Minority Report element kind of into the...
Kind of, sort of. But it's like, the thing is, like, I like the fact that the kid, when everyone's like, oh, what a cute kid, because I know Chimichanga really liked the kid, and I was sitting there like, no, like, I want to
kill this
motherfucker. That's more of a spoiler. I wanted him to die. He didn't die in the movie.
Okay.
But I would have killed him. But if Hitler looked like Diego as a baby, I wouldn't kill Hitler.
I would kill Hitler.
You would... Oh.
It's not even you, man.
It's fucking me. What do you mean it's not me?
No, it's Hitler.
No, you said if it's little me, you would kill me.
No. If it looked
that's
like you.
That's the worst thing anyone has ever told me.
If it looked
Diego,
like
when
you, but
you
was Hitler.
And more adorable, I still would have shot you in the face.
Yeah, I would have.
That's what
killing
was great,
Hitler,
too,
man.
Is about the whole scenes later, explaining scenes prior. There's a scene with the kid and the mom where the kid's being a brat. And you're
why is
this mom taking that? Like, discipline your kid. She goes and just hides. And you're like, what's wrong with this woman?
In a gun safe.
Yeah, in a safe. And then later on, you realize why she's hiding in a safe.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh. But they don't even touch on that. They don't really...
It's just
like,
kind of,
hey, look, we're explaining this scene. Like, they don't make it explicit. It's just they show you and you put it together yourself. You're like, oh,
cool.
That's great. Like, the movie doesn't hold your hand, and I like that. They don't explicitly tell you things. They just expect you to be able to put it together.
And the scene...
And it works. It works really well.
When the scene comes together... About like here's the Rainmaker.
Oh man, that
spectacular.
Was like chills. Like I was
that
like,
that was great. What
whoa,
a payoff. What a payoff!
Yes,
right?
Okay.
Because they build up like, who is this elusive Rainmaker?
Yeah,
and why is he called the Rainmaker? You might think that he's just a mafia boss.
Yeah,
or something like that.
And then once you find out,
oh my god,
yeah,
it's a great scene.
It's a good, like, man. Yeah, it gave me chills for sure.
Yeah,
that was
a great scene, and that's when things become like, whoa, this is a legit
different movie.
Sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not just a time travel thing.
Yeah,
anymore.
Like Blade Runner had androids. This has telekinetic powers.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
Put that in how important they are to the story.
Yeah.
That's basically the level of importance. So.
Right.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, for sure.
So, what were your guys' favorite scenes?
I mean, you almost just brought it up.
Yeah, that was my favorite scene. The scene
which
where
one?
Like, here is the Rainmaker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I think even like Bruce Willis or Joseph Gordon-Levitt is like the Rainmaker.
Yeah,
like,
he gets it after that happens. Yeah.
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 It's almost kind of like awe-inspiring.
Okay.
Yeah, especially in how it all goes down.
Okay.
And then, you know, shit gets even more complicated. But when that scene happens, it's like literally there's like 30 minutes left in the movie.
Yeah, it's towards the end for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Piper Perabo topless was also a nice scene. even though I was a little disappointed.
Well, I think that ruined
wasn't.
The movie for me.
I still don't know.
I wanted him bigger. You know.
I mean, I wouldn't care. It wasn't like if I was there, I'd have been like, ugh, I don't want
to. No. You would want to be Joseph
Gordon-Levitt. And I don't even, I'm not even a huge fan of white girls, to be honest. But I would have been all right in that situation.
Right.
It would have been great.
I'm not a fan of girls, to be honest.
Okay. He is not.
They're icky.
Yeah. But I liked it.
It's all underneath. I don't know how explicit we want to get here. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. It's okay.
Thanks, Russell. Rusty with his Bronson penis shit.
Have you seen Bronson?
No, it's on Netflix. Yeah, and I heard Tom Hardy rock shit in that movie.
He did a really good job.
See his penis a lot.
His uncircumcised dick and Rusty.
It's like Eastern Promises.
Yeah. Okay. And then Rusty was
except Eastern Promises was like kind of fast and it was just brutal scenes. So you're like, holy shit. Like he's fucking people up.
Motion, like swirling like helicoptering it into the camera.
Hey, guys.
Like Bruno just swinging it around.
That's so funny. My mom really liked that scene in Bruno, too. She thought it was hilarious. When it was talking.
Great.
Awkward movie moments with mom. That's a future podcast.
Right?
Yeah.
The thing where it's...
Don't watch Monsters Ball with your mom.
God. Never. But what the fuck were you talking about?
Dicks.
Penises. Yeah. Rusty would not shut up about his cock.
He was fixated.
He was fixated.
Tom Hardy's a good-looking man. I think it'd be gayer not to want to have sex with him.
It was mostly that he thought his dick looked really weird.
Yeah, it was like, well, it's like got a supporting role. It should get a supporting role credit.
Should be in the credits.
Yeah. Tom Hardy's penis. It's like
Tom
the third
and
credit.
Tommy.
Yeah. The little fireman, right? Yeah. No, That's fine. We've talked about much worse before than Piper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking about like girls in general.
Yeah.
Weird. Because when you're little, you don't think the vagina is on underneath. It doesn't make sense. You think it's in the front. Like that's where you would think. Yeah. You just like when you'd walk straight in. And then you see
easy as one, two, and then walk in.
Yeah. And then you're like, I mean, this probably might not ring true for anybody born before like the 1990, I guess,
but
everybody was trying to, like, who's going to be the guy to get the first porn when you're a kid? Like, who's going to find that first? Wow. Oh. Which one of my friends is going to get that porn first? Like, video. I'm not just like a magazine, like a video.
Like, whoever has Kazaa first.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I had a friend friends in, like, middle school who had a really perverted dad. And he had a bunch of porn.
Perverted dad. Great.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Like he kept Playboys in the bathroom and everything.
That's fucked up.
And he had porn like hidden away.
Did he have a mom?
In the living room. Yeah, he had a mom.
Really perverted mom.
And so that's why someone first porn. And then you're like, it's underneath? That's weird. What is it?
Why isn't it looking right at me?
Yeah, I don't understand. So yeah, girls are weird.
I'm still wondering that today.
Go see Looper. Hey.
Yeah. There's none of that in Looper.
We'll edit that last part out. No big deal.
No.
We're going to keep it uncut like Tom Hardy's cock.
Just like Tom Hardy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like Tom
Hardy's. Uncut and raw.
Yeah.
Okay, so what would you guys... How would you guys rate this movie then?
I'm going to go on the 10 scale. I'll let you go.
Yeah,
first.
If no, it's Justin. I hate numbers, but on a sci-fi scale,
like 10,
that is you can't get much better than that. Yeah.
What's a 10
really
for you in sci-fi then? Alien?
Moon?
I like Aliens
Moon
better
is
than
great.
Alien. I never saw Moon.
Oh my god,
that's awesome. That's also on Netflix, and Duncan Jones I know is really cool.
That's our third review on the on our site.
Yeah. And I mean, kudos to him for not going by Zoe Bowie, so that's cool.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I do need to see Moon. I don't know sci-fi movie, like, what I would rank. Because you have sci-fi movies where it's just, like kind of Blade Runner style.
Or like
you have
Star Wars.
Or like Matrix, yeah. And then you have sci-fi where it's like Aliens or, you know, Predator and
Children
things like that. Children of Men. I don't even know. You call it sci-fi? I guess.
It's a little sci-fi.
I'd say it's sci-fi.
I love the shit out of Children of Men. Yeah. So, I mean, I could say
Rusty
that.
Rusty does not.
No, he doesn't.
What?
Yeah, he does not like it, man.
Why?
Yeah.
He's a dingus. That's why.
He thought it was the most contrived movie plot ever. Yeah. What movies have you seen before
Contrived?
Children? Yeah.
That have to do with like not being able to reproduce.
Not being able to have babies anymore. Yeah.
Maybe it hits too close to home for him. I don't know.
Strawberry Cough.
Yeah.
What have you ever seen that?
God, yeah. Michael Caine. Everything he's in.
Everything Michael Caine is in.
Even that new rock movie.
Just fucking watch
to that
it.
Island or whatever.
Yeah.
There was a kid movie this summer where it's like, God, it's a Disney movie where the.
Oh
rock
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
What's oh, the Journey
his
to the
name
Journey
is Dwayne
Center
Johnson
of the Earth
yeah.
2.
Yeah,
yeah, Michael Caine's in that movie.
That's awesome.
You know, Brendan Fraser's probably pissed about that he didn't get offered the sequel.
Yeah. Well, he probably wanted too much money.
I wouldn't imagine he wants much money. He'll be in anything.
It's that clap he did at the Golden
Globes. Point.
Yeah, he's never gotten.
There's
a
Photoshop like GIF of that where he has a bone arrow in his hand and it shoots off when he claps. Yeah,
I don't think I've seen that. I need to see the spaz.
You haven't seen the spaz?
The spaz clap?
I don't think I've seen the
spaz.
It. Yeah, it's on YouTube for sure.
Yeah.
No, it's just a gif of it.
He's got the.
Okay.
He'll get it up there.
On filmjunk.com.
While he's talking about. While he's looking it up, I'll start talking about the review.
What do you give it out of 10?
He didn't even give it a rating, but I'll go first.
I don't like numbers. It's really good. It deserves more money than it made. Go see it.
Super favorable.
I agree that it deserves more money than it's made. I'm not going to go by a sci-fi scale because while it is a sci-fi movie, I think most people are going to be like, I just want to see an action movie.
They're going to connect to it because it's an action movie.
And it is an action movie.
And it's a good story.
It is an action movie, and you get a good number of scenes where people are shooting guns
okay
and blowing up places.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. But I like the movie.
Yeah.
If I had to compare it to something where, you know, I maybe we'll see what Justin says about this. When you're watching the trailer, I feel like they made it out to be like an Inception-esque thing when they do like the slow-mo of him falling backwards. Yeah. And it's, you know, they're going to use that because he was in the car tossing around like that.
Yeah, and you're not really sure what that's pertaining to. Like, where is he falling? What is
right,
that?
Where is he falling? What's he doing? And there's only one scene like that, right? Which I thought was a little weird they're going to show, you know.
Here you go.
Yeah, take a look at that gif.
Oh.
That's his clap.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that clap.
Look, well, doofus.
He looks like a doofus.
Like, my favorite part about it. That's okay. In the context of it, I think Martin Scorsese made a joke, and then they cut to that, right?
That's what you're
talking
about.
Right, they cut to that. They cut to his face, and then he realizes he's on camera, and then he does that laugh.
Yeah.
So he does that, and then that went up on YouTube like right after he did that. I would say, you know, we're going to get in a spirited discussion with this, because I'm going to give it... I like The Raid better.
Oh,
really?
I like they're different movies. I can't compare movies. Really? They're different genres.
I'm gonna give this one a 7.
Okay.
Give this a seven.
Is it a C, Diego?
Is a 7 a C, Diego?
Is it by chance a C?
Yeah, that's a C. That's mediocre.
A 7 is what you give like a slam poetry contest. Give this a 7. That's a reference to the Film Drunk Broadcast. You should listen to that. Sorry. But anyway, yeah, don't give it a 7. It deserves better than that.
Oh, well, I think, okay, here's the deal. I walked into it. The ending is what bothered me a lot.
Okay.
It could have ended like 5 different ways, to be fair.
And the way I thought they ended it was the...
least cool
way. The way things were ending where basically it went into the age-old, you know... a time travel kind of conundrum of a like, oh, we never knew that our actions right now were actually becoming what was happening was the ending.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what I was kind of bummed out about before. Because it's like, you know, they're realizing it and was like, well, shit, you know, it's stuff like that where it didn't surprise me where it's like, you know, our actions are making him become the Rainmaker in the hunt for him because the loop is continuous.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where I think a lot of people were probably like, oh, you know, but at the same time, I was like, well, yeah, you know, I could have seen that coming. I would have liked it if Bruce Willis had his way just to see how it is different. Mm-hmm. I did think they were really brave in doing the thing where Bruce Willis is hunting down 3 kids.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of movies where you have a guy who's technically a good guy. Like, you're rooting for him.
Yeah.
And what he has to do is kill some kids.
Yeah. Innocent kids.
Yeah, just I mean innocent in the sense that
because they're all like they're 7 or
kids.
8,
yeah.
Right? In the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the
and
whole thing.
I think they're like 10, I think is what she says her kids 10, so I guess they're all 10.
Yeah, they're all 10.
But yeah, and I mean they're innocent in the sense that they technically haven't done anything yet because it's their future selves who might do something wrong because he doesn't know.
Yeah.
He just knows it's one of them.
Yeah.
And yeah, he kills some kids, but then you're never like, oh, he's a bad person because he's killing kids. You're always like,
well, he's killing Hitlers.
Yeah, exactly.
It's boys from Brazil.
Hitlers. Potential Hitlers.
It's boys from Brazil. He's got a 1 out of 3 shot.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is that he knows that the 3 of these people were born in this hospital on this day, and we know that one of them is the Rainmaker.
Yeah.
And you see his character go through a thing like, I just killed a kid, like, oh my God, right?
Yeah.
But he has his reasons, and I really liked his reasons, and like, they're not flashbacks, they're flash forwards, which really make things kind of interesting and fun.
Yeah.
7 to 7.5, I wouldn't mind seeing it again, but
I'd like
did
to see it again for sure.
I did like, I really liked the scenes of like the urban jungle, futuristic, but not super futuristic.
Okay,
because he lives, Joseph Gordon-Levitt lives in like an apartment
normal.
That looks like
it looks fine,
loft.
Yeah. But there's poor people around where they're kind of almost a thing you deal with. It seems like there's that scene just in passing where he drives through the town.
Yeah.
Where the guy comes up and like steals some guy's suitcase, and the guy just shoots him
in the
back,
and
there's no consequence. It's just like, oh, that guy tried to steal my shit, and I killed him, and that's just that's what happens.
It's like vigilante in the street. And then, like, he's, like, above it, though. It's, like, two different classes. Two
well, being
different
a looper
worlds.
Pays well.
Apparently. Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
And that's why people do it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
It pays well.
So. I give it 7.5. I thought it was good, and I'd recommend seeing it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Like, if you're a fan of sci-fi, for sure. If you're a fan of Bruce Willis and action movies, for sure. You're going to get something different, and I think it's worthwhile watching.
Yeah. There's a couple, like, shootout scenes with Bruce Willis where you're like, hey, it's like Die Hard.
Okay,
cool.
But, yeah, I on the ending, I kind of agree. There were really about 5 different ways that it could have ended. And the one they chose is kind of almost a cop-out in a sense where it's
trust us, everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But from what you've seen in the whole movie, you're like, things might not be fine. Everything could still get bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of like, no, trust us. This is all that had to happen. And now everything's going to be good.
Right.
Almost kind of plays by Terminator rules. Where like, I mean, the end, the end of Terminator 2, you're like, oh, everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it is until they make a third one where it's like, actually, no, everything's not fine. Forget everything you learned in the second one. Yeah. Everything sucks.
Great.
And like, that could still technically, I guess, happen in this and it would fit the story.
Yeah.
So there's not a whole bunch of closure unless you just trust the movie and like, trust the movie. Okay, everything worked out fine.
And
okay.
The way that the ending happens is I thought that like, well, if you ended it, you could have done this 30 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just now realize you could have done that. And
yeah. Yeah. It's definitely something that didn't have to take a whole movie to realize that, oh, this is what I should do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But that being said, the performances are all great.
Yeah, for sure. That's I think good. Joseph Gordon-Levitt definitely gets the nod there just because Bruce Willis is playing himself in a sense.
Uh-huh.
And Joseph Gordon-Levitt is playing Bruce Willis,
just
which
like
is
the shots
harder.
When they
so.
Do like the shootouts when Joseph Gordon-Levitt hits the floor and starts shooting, he looks like it's like Bruce Willis jumped out on the floor and Die Hard and started gunning away.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought it was good. So you would rank it higher than a 7. You just don't know
I would
what.
Give it higher than I mean I don't know what number I would give it, but 7.5 sounds low.
Oh,
if that makes sense. I liked it more than that.
All right.
There's not you don't often see a good sci-fi movie. Like it's a hard genre to do.
Well, I mean, without becoming really gimmicky and corny.
Well, exactly, yeah. With being a serious movie where it's not like, you know, it's not like Galaxy Quest where it's like, oh, that's sci-fi, but that was
Spaceballs.
Fun. Yeah.
Starship Troopers.
Yeah. Starship Troopers is
let's all get in the shower now.
Yeah. Starship Troopers underappreciated.
Yeah. It really is.
I enjoy that.
I'm just saying.
No.
I was 13, was like, tits, say it.
Yeah.
Denise Richards.
You don't see her boobs.
You don't see her boobs.
That's, what a tease. You're gonna be in a movie where every girl shows her boobs.
You have to watch Wild Things.
Wild Things, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Which is not worth
Neve Campbell. What happened to Neve Campbell?
Oh god.
And Denise Richards for that matter.
And Danny Glover. I want to see his boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any more questions, dude?
No, I think that's it for me.
I have a question for Justin.
Okay, what's your question?
Okay. If you had to pick one sci-fi movie ahead of this one, what would it be? And tell us your top five movies of the 80s.
Did y'all already do this top five of the 80s thing?
Yeah,
we did, but like, we wanted to hear yours.
Yeah. It's hard because I didn't prepare this before I came and remember.
He came up with 10 in his head yesterday.
Well, yeah, it's
that's
hard.
Different.
The 80s was huge. There were a lot of movies in the 80s, so it's hard to think like all about them. Like, one of the Indiana Joneses has to be in there.
He said Temple of Doom.
I think Last Crusade is objectively my favorite, like the best.
I love Last Crusade.
But Temple of Doom is the one that sticks out most in my head because it's the one I watched when I was little and it was like, whoa, he ripped this guy's heart out. That's awesome. And I didn't really know who Sean Connery was at the time because I was little. So it was like, okay, that's if he's forever Indiana Jones's dad. Like I didn't even know about James Bond. Like that's just who that is. But so I'll put Temple of Doom on there, I guess. Aliens is definitely on there, the second one. I don't know what particular order to even put these in. No. Princess Bride is probably number one, though. I could say that.
Okay.
Princess Bride, forever. Holy
Princess
crap.
Bride, that's a tattoo on my back.
Yeah, no, for real. Well, oddly enough, if you get that movie on Blu-ray, it really brings out the cheapness of the sets.
Oh, really?
Like, there's a couple scenes where, right before the sword fight between Inigo and the Man in Black, Cary Elwes or whatever.
Yeah.
They're walking around on what's supposed to be rock.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
clearly like styrofoam, like it gives when they walk across it. And I never noticed that until I got it on Blu-ray. So
nice.
That's up there. Major League, if you want like a comedy.
I do like Major League.
I put Major League. I mean, Naked Gun is good. That's a good 80s movie. But Major League is a legitimate actual movie. I mean, Naked Gun's a parody.
Right.
And that's four. That's probably all I can give you. I'd have to really look over, like, I'd have to Google 80s movies so I can see what really came out in the 80s.
Right on.
Yeah.
That gives you a little idea of the movies that I like.
What that's about cool. your sci-fi movie ahead of a recent sci-fi movie ahead of...
See, again, I need, like, a list. What's been recent that's sci-fi?
What can you think is better than Looper? You really can't think of one that's better than Looper?
I would still need like a list of movies
nice.
To be like, hey, what's sci-fi? Like, oh, this movie. Oh,
see,
yeah, that was
that's the whole
sci-fi.
Thing. When I watched Children of Men and I just watched it.
Yeah.
I count that as a fairly recent one.
Yeah, yeah. I love Children of Men for sure.
I like Children of Men better than Looper.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it. I really
say
liked
apple
it.
Apple and oranges on this one.
I thought it was really. I mean, I hate the word gritty because I feel like that's cheap Hollywood speak. Like, we're going to remake this movie, but make it gritty.
Yeah.
More gritty.
Yeah.
More grit.
Yeah.
Throw sand in their faces
True
when
grit.
They're watching.
I love the new
True Grit.
I
didn't really like it that
What?
I like the Coen brothers, and I just thought it was.
You like No Country for Old Men?
Yeah.
You like A Single Man?
You like A Single Man?
Or I A Serious Man.
Serious Man.
Serious Man. Single Man's Tom Ford.
Yeah. Burn After Reading.
Burn After Reading was great. I love Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt in that movie was fantastic.
So I would just pay, and also, I would pay $8 just to see him get shot in the face.
I know.
And I love Brad Pitt.
I liked his scene on the treadmill when he's just running around checking out some movies. And
then I was like, yeah.
J.K. Simmons was also great in that movie.
I got your shit.
You think that's a Schwinn. hold on. I just Googled sci-fi movies real quick. Oh, right. Terminator, for sure. Terminator 2 was the 90s.
Yeah.
But Terminator, the first one, was the 80s.
So right. Would you say that's higher than Looper?
I would say Terminator is higher than Looper 2.
I mean, for what it led to Terminator 2, so yeah. I got to give it credit.
I'd say the story was very original and interesting to watch, though.
Yeah, at the time, for sure. Yeah. I mean, if Looper had come out in the 80s, it would have been super original also.
I think Looper's is still pretty original.
What about Inception?
It is.
What about Inception?
I don't know. Is that sci-fi? I guess that's sci-fi.
I think it's sci-fi.
Dream jumping? Future tech?
I liked Inception, and it's one of those movies that I hate to think about more because every time I do, I think about parts that don't make sense.
Yeah,
and it bothers me.
I love it.
But if you just watch it and don't try to make it, it's kind of like Looper. If you try to think about the time consequences, you can be like, "Well, that didn't make sense." But don't do that.
Yeah,
just
go along for the ride.
The only movie where that's okay, I think, is Prometheus, because there's a lot of shit in that movie that just didn't have to happen the way it did, and was just an example of poor writing.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe Tree of Life.
I'm not. I haven't
Listen,
seen,
that's a
I
thinker.
Haven't seen that.
You haven't seen Tree of Life?
Oh, I've seen like half of it. I always stop in that stupid
you stop
10 minutes of space. It's like, just space nebulas.
Is it the dinosaur that gets
you? Like 20 minutes.
Yeah, this weird CG dinosaur. I'm not seeing anything else on this little random whoever. Ooh, that's a good sci-fi movie.
Which
one? Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind.
Would you count Eternal Sunshine as a Spotless Mind as sci-fi?
This website says it's sci-fi.
I would call it like fantasy, but I could see how it could be sci-fi because it
it's
drugs basically that make you go.
Yeah, and you forget. Yeah, that was a good movie. I really liked Minority Report. That's another one where if you think about it too much, you're like, plot-wise, that doesn't make sense.
What about The One? I like The One.
Jet Li's The One. I remember I made like my mom and her friends go see that because I saw it and loved it.
Yeah.
Because it had a bunch of like shitty butt rock in it, and I was a fan of that kind of music back in the day. Like, cut my life into pieces.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Papa Roach.
Yes. And
they have a new album.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
they do.
God damn.
Yeah. Exactly.
We are the ones still screaming.
Yeah.
that song, yeah. Everybody hated it, and they all got mad at me, and I was like 13. I was like, I thought it was good. That's what you get for listening to a 13-year-old.
That is what you get for listening to a 13-year-old. Yeah.
Children of
Men's
definitely great. I don't know I have a hard time. I mean, I can maybe make a top five of my movies that have, like, all time. I would have a hard time separating them by genre. It's tough. A good movie is a good movie.
I would say Looper is good, and I think you liked it a lot more than me. Yeah. But it's still a good movie.
Okay.
I liked it better than, if you want to have another Bruce Willis sci-fi movie, 12 Monkeys. I like 12 Monkeys, and I like this better than 12 Monkeys.
Okay. I never saw 12 Monkeys.
You should see that.
Cool. That's the guy who did the Monty Python guy.
Terry Gilliam.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, yes.
12 Monkeys is good.
Awesome. That's cool.
You know, he's been trying to get Don Quixote going for like ever.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and they actually have a documentary of him.
Bruce Willis?
Terry Gilliam. About 20 years of how he's trying to get it working, and it's like he failed in Spain one time, and it's about him failing and making that movie.
Wow. The movie is his Don Quixote.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the movie.
It's really funny how he talks about it. He's like how he got fucked over. It's a great documentary.
Cool. It just makes me think of some of the smarmy lines from The Newsroom. I like Aaron Sorkin, but the show was a little smarmy at times. Like,
I never saw it.
I read Don Quixote in the original French. He's like, it was written in Spanish.
Yeah.
Like, who would know that? That's a random piece of trivia that they know that on the show, but nobody knows how to use email. It's weird.
Yeah, I heard about
Aaron Sorkin doesn't know how to use email.
True, yeah. True. He has a lot of that where you see in the show where, like, I don't understand how this works. And, like, he projects
What's
himself.
What's an iPhone?
Yeah, he projects himself onto his characters about, like, technology's stupid.
Yeah.
But I'm in the tank for Sorkin. I like him.
That's cool. Well, yeah. So, favorable and apparently an awesome movie that you should watch.
Go see it. It deserves to make more money.
I say
expect
see it, in the
it to make more money.
It needs to be seen in the theater.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't wait. It's one of those you need to go see now.
It's nice.
Because people will talk about it and you want to have something to say. So all right. Go see it.
Well, I mean, I can't really say anything about it because
what was your favorite part?
We were talking about the penis?
I like the part where everyone was like, talking on screen.
Yeah, yeah. And that was a good part.
And they were wearing clothes.
Oh,
yeah. That was a good part. Yeah, no, I'm like Jim Lehrer at that first.
fuck you,
first
Jim Lehrer.
Presidential.
My dad called you senile.
Great job. Great yeah. job.
I well. Want them to cut PBS now.
yeah. yeah, yeah. One vote for
poor,
Romney.
What,
right
what
there.
Will happen with Brooke Shields and David Brooks? What are they going to do?
Brooke Shields. And
I mean,
David
not
Brooks.
Brooke Shields. Mark Shields and David.
I was gonna say Brooke Shields.
Brooke Shields and David Brooks. What?
Yeah.
Shields and Brooks. I like.
It's like, what'll happen to my favorite
Big
like,
Bird.
Music character or Big music Bird. Couple, Busta Rhymes and Leanne Rhymes?
yeah, dude, that's great.
That would be that would be dope.
Yeah, she'd probably fuck.
They need
him
to work
too.
On that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you for moderating, Sam.
Thank you guys for speaking. So well.
For sure.
All eloquent.
Oh, yeah. My voice came across well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't want to hear it, so.
Well, yeah, thanks, everybody, for listening. I know this was a little bit different, but we hope you enjoyed it. Thanks again, Justin, for chiming in on this film. Tell us what you thought about Looper. Did you love it? Did you hate it? Shout outs to Anthony Fantano. If you listen to The Needle Drop, listen to The Needle Drop. It's awesome. Yeah. As always, we appreciate your questions, comments, whatnot. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Peace.